KIOS-FM presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, September 16, 2004, for broadcast at this time. On today's program, we'll hear a debate on the upcoming gambling initiatives appearing on the Nebraska ballot in November, Freeway to Fiscal Freedom, or Road to Ruin. The members of the panel will be Pat Lunger from Gambling with the Good Life, Julia Plucker from Keep the Money in Nebraska, and Patrick Bourne, a member of the Nebraska State Legislature. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is KETV Channel 7 anchorman, Rob McCartney.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Rob McCartney. Welcome to the Omaha Press Club for what hopefully will be an informative gathering. This is another in the Press Club's ongoing educational forums. We examine issues that we think are of interest to the public, all sorts of issues. Our noon forums are open to everyone. You do not have to be a member to attend. There is paper and pencil at your table, you'll see. Please write down your questions. They'll be brought up to me to ask from the podium. Please feel free to ask any and all questions that you may have. Today, we tackle what could be and probably will be the most controversial item on this fall's ballot, expanded gambling in Nebraska. There are two options up for vote. I'm not going to lay them out for you. I'll let our panelists do that. Currently, though, gambling in several forms is legal in Nebraska. The question, should expanded gambling be expanded now to include casinos? And if so, how much of an expansion should there be? Our panel today, Pat Lunger from the group Gambling with the Good Life. She's in the red on my right. Julia Plucker from Keep the Money in Nebraska, right here on the end. And State Senator Pat Bourne from the Nebraska Legislature. This is an open forum. Panelists will answer questions from each other and from you, as we said. Each will have the opportunity to address every question. Now, we begin with each panel member outlining their position for you. Now, by random selection, first up, we'll have Julia Plucker, followed by Pat Lunger and Senator Pat Bourne. Ms. Plucker, you're first.
Thank you, and thanks for having me here today. This certainly is an important issue, like you said, probably the most controversial issue that's going to be on the November ballot. Let me tell you a little bit about our proposal. My name, again, is Julia Plucker. I'm the spokesperson for Keep the Money in Nebraska Committee. Keep the Money in Nebraska Committee is a committee of Nebraskans. It's funded 80% by Nebraskans, and we get 20% of our funding from Coast Casinos. That's a red herring that you're going to hear a lot about as we move towards the election, that this is a Las Vegas, you know, sponsored. This is Las Vegas trying to buy your vote. Absolutely not the case in our proposal. Our proposal, again, is funded 80% by Nebraskans, and it was written by Nebraskans for the entire state of Nebraska to benefit. One fact that's indisputable by anybody looking at this issue, even those opposed to gambling, is that gambling already exists here in Omaha and throughout the state. We can go to the back windows and look across the river, and there are, you know, casinos there already. We heard from a gambling addiction counselor at a previous debate we had this week where he said anybody in Nebraska who's prone to be addicted to gambling is already addicted to gambling because gambling exists here. And I'm not talking just about the Keno and the pickle cards and the racetracks, but, you know, this river is not the Great Wall of China. You can get across it in 2 minutes and you can go gamble. So we have gambling here, yet we're getting none of the benefits of that. And the indisputable fact is that we lose $300 million a year to Iowa alone. And that's not including South Dakota, Missouri, Colorado. $300 million that Nebraskans are spending over in Iowa right now, we're losing that. Council Bluffs and Iowa are getting all the benefits, and we're getting none. Another gambling issue is on the ballot. There's two different approaches. There's the approach that Senator Bourne will talk about, and then there's the Keep the Money in Nebraska proposal. They have their approach. We have ours. We're not here to point out negatives in their approach, but there is one significant difference between the two proposals, and that is that our proposal is all about local control. And when we talk about local control, we mean three things. We mean every community gets to decide whether to have gambling, where to put the gambling and how to spend the money from the gambling revenues. Every community benefits under our plan, every community in Nebraska. Here's what 417 through 420 does. That's our initiatives, 417, 418, 419, and 420. It allows up to two casinos along the Omaha Riverfront, and then it allows a limited number, 4,900 is the top number, of machines across the state if the communities want them. So what the communities can do with these machines that they're allocated based on population is that they can place them in the communities in a limited form. They can place them at racetracks, or they can place them at strategic locations. The initiatives also set up a gaming commission and set up a tax rate of 36%, which is split among the communities in the state. This is an important point because not all the money is going to the state. Some of that money stays in that local community, and the local community gets to do exactly what it wants to do with it. I've had the opportunity, we've had the pleasure of debating these issues before, and this it seems like the same issues come up, and so I'd like to just touch on them very briefly. Another red herring in our proposal that you hear a lot about is unlimited slot machines. This is going to be unlimited slots across the state. First of all, we have a total limit of 4,900. Those are based allocated on population. After communities allocate those to the tracks and the strategic locations, which they will because that's the revenue-generating source, there are only a few hundred machines left for the entire state of Nebraska. So this in absolutely no way means slot machines on every street corner. I can go into a little bit about the social cause. I don't want to take up too much time because I know we just have an hour. The anti-gambling folks talk a lot about how it increases social costs, increases bankruptcies, increases crime. Study after study have shown, and common sense shows us, that that is not the case. If you look at Council Bluffs now and you look at it 10 years ago, it's a better place. Retail sales are strong. Bass Pro Shops, one of the largest retailers in the country, chose to locate there in between the two casinos. These are not evil states. 36 states have gambling. 36 states, to the tune of about $6 billion, have figured out that this is a viable revenue source for the state. In sum, we all know the struggles that the state of Omaha and the city of, or the state of Nebraska and the city of Omaha have financially. This is our only chance for new revenue source. We're talking over $100 million a year in gaming tax revenues alone. That's not any of the sales taxes, the property taxes, the vendor fees, the occupation fees that these casinos will and these machines will generate. So. We see this as a business issue. We don't see it as a moral issue. If someone sees it as a moral issue, we respect that. But to us, this is an economic decision for the state of Nebraska and the city of Omaha.
Thank you. Pat Lunger.
I also would like to thank you for this opportunity, because what we've said from the very beginning, and we've been in this fight for 9 years now, is that they have the money and we have the truth. The problem is, how do you get the truth out without the money? So that's been our struggle. We are a grassroots organization. We were formed in 1995 when Senator Jensen asked me, and at the time I was a stay-at-home mom with five children, and he said that in the legislature in 1995 they had almost pushed through an amendment to change our constitution and to allow slot machines and casinos to come in. He really didn't think that there was much of a chance. This was November of 95, but he asked if I would just organize a grassroots group that would at least put forth some opposition. There had been none. And I agreed, and we formed, and it grew, and we sent out letters, 2,200 letters to every church in the state of Nebraska, telling them that in January the legislature was reconvening and be voting on that issue shortly thereafter. And we started educating the senators. And when they took the vote, which was the first part of February of 1996, it was defeated 36-9. And that was the beginning of Gambling with the Good Life. What I thought was a three-month commitment that I could go back to raising my children has turned out to be a lifetime commitment. We are truly grassroots, primarily volunteer organization. We do not have any high-priced lawyers paid by Nevada to represent us. We have to do it ourselves. But we have been very successful. We have been down there for the last 9 years in the legislature, giving the legislatures a tremendous amount of information that's been gathered from all over the country, because Nevada it's Nevada's goal to take over the country state by state, and they have done that in 30 different states. There's only two states, Hawaii and Utah, that are totally free of gambling. And we are one of 20 states, I believe, that does not have the slot machines. But it is their goal to take each state one by one. And we have been down there going toe-to-toe against those lobbyists for 9 years. And when we've presented the truth and given it to the senators, we've been able to hold that away from the ballot, because we knew if it went to the ballot, we would have a tremendous battle on our hands. And we do. This year we have a tremendous battle. We have two ballot initiatives. One is sponsored or primarily paid for by the Venetian, who's going to be backing the legislature proposal. And then we have keep the money. We prefer to say it's the take the money to Nevada petition. And that's primarily sponsored by Coast. Everyone else on their list, and that's available from accountability and disclosures, has a gambling interest. Whether they're Nebraskans or not, they are either the horse tracks or the Keno parlors, or they are the distributors. It is a totally self-serving proposal sponsored by the gambling interest. And so this has been our fight for 9 years, and we're here now because we believe that enough is enough. We want to be the star in the middle of the nation that says to Nevada, we don't need your help, thank you. And when Nevada comes in, they always build on the borders of every state. And they do this because they want to set up a civil war. They want to set state against state. And that's just exactly what they've done in Council Bluffs. And they come to the neighboring state and start this, keep the money wherever. And in reality, the money just flies right across the river and maybe goes to Nevada. They only get crumbs. Julia mentioned how wonderful it's been for Council Bluffs. Well, you have to ask yourself, it was so wonderful for Council Bluffs. Why have they raised their taxes 3 times since it went in? Why are they the crime capital of Iowa? And why do they have the highest increase of bankruptcies in the nation? This is not something that I think we need to bring into Nebraska and incorporate into our Constitution. Once we change our Constitution, we're opening a can of worms that we'll never be able to go back to. There are going to be 5 different things you can vote on, 4 from represented by the what we call the casino proposal from Coast, and then the one from the legislature. And even though they're very different, we just consider them they're both like having a glass of poison. One's a slow acting and one's a fast acting. They're both going to kill you. It's just going to take a little bit longer to get there. And what we're saying to the voters is to just vote no, because once we change that Constitution, if these bills, some passed, some didn't, they'll count the numbers. We've been told by the Attorney General and Secretary of State that it could very well be tied up in court for years to determine who actually won. And the next day, the Indian casinos will open, because all the Indian casinos need is to have the Constitution changed. Indian casinos are virtually unregulated and untaxed. And this is something that we need to ask ourselves. Do we want to change the face of Nebraska? I have 5 children and 8 grandchildren now, and I don't know how much this is going to affect me at my age by the time this gets up and running and incorporated into our society, but I know my grandchildren are going to be paying for this for the rest of their lives. And I don't want to wake up on November 3rd and say, what could I have done? What more could I have done to have prevented this? We are so pleased that there's so many prominent Nebraskans like Tom and Nancy Osborne who have stepped up to be our honorary chair people on this, and the governor and Mayor Mike Fahey, former Mayor Hal Dobb, Attorney General John Bruning, businesses like Warren Buffett, Gallup University, the Old Market Merchant Association, and on and on. Now, you have to ask yourself, these are people who have studied the issue. These are people who care about Nebraska and the quality of our life. And you have to say, what does the Coast Casino and the Venetian know that these prominent Nebraskans don't know? And these people have stood with us to say, vote no on November 2nd to all expanded gambling measures on the ballot.
Senator Bourne.
Thank you very much for having me here today. I must say at the onset, I don't know that I've ever been involved in a situation where both sides have been so adequately represented I as they are here today by Julia Plucker and Ms. Lingier. It's hard to argue with either one of their points. I'm going to give to you the legislature's perspective, or at least as I see the legislature's perspective as a member of the legislature. The first thing I want to say at the beginning is I have been a state senator for 6 years, and I don't believe that there has been a more significant issue before the people of Nebraska than the one we're dealing with today. I do think we'll wake up the day after the election and the landscape of Nebraska will be changed forever. So this, in my mind, is an awesome decision that we all must contemplate, become educated on, and make the choice that we as citizens of Nebraska feel is best. But make no mistake, it's significant, and the state will be changed forever, in my opinion, the day after the election, because I do believe these petitions will pass. I want to tell you a little bit about why I supported the legislature's constitutional change and why I don't necessarily support the one put forth by Keep the Money in Nebraska. I think that one of the most important things the government can do is respond to the citizens. When I was elected to the legislature 6 years ago, my family and I went to thousands of homes, literally. You believe it or not, about 15,000 houses, to the point where some people would open the door and say, not you again. So I felt like at the time I really had my finger on the pulse of my district. And overwhelmingly, I felt my district was telling me we do not want expanded gambling. Now, this was spring and fall of 1998. Since that time, I sense a wholesale change in my constituents' views. They absolutely, positively want the ability to vote on this issue in November. There's no doubt in my mind. I know there was a poll that was done. It wasn't in my district. I think it was statewide that said some 91% of Nebraskans wanted to be able to vote on the issue. So I think that the harm from the legislature not responding to the public's desire to vote on this is far worse than anything that might happen should gambling come here to Nebraska. I think that the legislature had to respond to this issue, and to not do so, I think, would disenfranchise a large number of Nebraskans who are counting on the legislature to do something. So I voted for the legislature's proposal because I felt that we must respond to the citizenry. And the second reason that I voted for it is I feel that the legislature's proposal is far less insidious or pervasive than the initiative. And I'll just lump all four of those together and call them the initiative. I do think that with the initiative that's on the ballot, I do think there will be a proliferation of slot machines along the I-80 corridor and along the north-south highway. I think it's 181 or Highway 81. I do think there will be more slot machines than are contemplated here. If you read the initiative, there's some language that talks about other gaming devices. I'm not certain what that is, but I do believe there will be more slot machines in our state than the number mentioned by Ms. Plucker. So to contrast the legislature's proposal, there will be two casinos located somewhere in the state. And so I do feel that the legislature's proposal, while not perfect, is less pervasive and probably less harmful to our society than the initiative. And that's not to say that the initiative, they don't have the right to do this. They absolutely do. They follow the law. They follow the process. I have no trouble with how they did it. They've been above board. I've worked with Ms. Plucker down in the legislature, and, you know, it's a pleasure to work with, and as always, let the legislators know what they're doing. So they followed the law, and they're doing what they think is right, and Ms. Lingier is opposing them because she thinks that is what is right. So, again, I think that the government had to respond, and I think the legislature did by putting a proposal that was more restrictive than the initiative, and that's the one that I intend to support more likely than not come November.
Thank you, Senator Bourne. Okay, we do have some questions that were brought up here. We'll begin with those and ask that the responses are somewhat limited so we can get through as many as we possibly can. This first one has to deal with the issue of money. Ms. Plucker says, what is the source of the $300 million figure? And also, please address the tax statistics since the introduction of gambling in Iowa and Council Bluffs. So the source of the $300 million figure and that tax statistics.
Okay. The $300 figure is, I'll tell you exactly how we came up with that. If you look at the revenues in Council Bluffs, it's $400 million, and it's very common knowledge. It's not debated at all that 75% of that money is coming from Nebraskans, so you times that number by 0.75, and you get $300 million. That number was also reinforced by Ernie Goss, who is a professor of economics at Creighton and was hired by the chamber to do a study. He also reinforced that number. I don't think there's any question that that is the number, and that's just in Council Bluffs alone. That's $300 million that we're losing. And as far as the tax, I'm not sure I
understand. Statistics, I guess, laying out. I don't know if someone wants to.
Oh, the tax in our proposal.
Right.
I was going to mention property taxes and why they've increased in Council Bluffs three times because Pat says that a lot, that if Council Bluffs, you know, if this is so great for Council Bluffs, why has it increased taxes? Well, because in Iowa, none of the money from the casino gambling goes to property tax relief. That's a mistake that their state made, and I hope our state doesn't make the same. But anyway, our tax rates are in our proposal are 36%. It's actually 36% of the first $100 million and 20% after that. So the blended rate is in the high 20s. And it's very in line, one of the highest in the country. And let me tell you a little bit about the split, because that's what makes this interesting, and that's what makes this proposal a benefit for all Nebraskans, not just Omaha, which is important. And 75% of the money from these machines, these 4,900 machines, which is a very limited number, stays right there in that community. The state can't touch that money. Las Vegas can't touch that money. So 75% of the tax revenues stays in that local community. 25% goes to the state so the legislature can do with it what it sees fit. With the casinos, it's switched around. 75% of the money from casinos goes to the legislature, goes to the state, and 25% of it will stay right here in Omaha. When we look at what a casino can generate, one casino will generate very conservatively $40 million in gaming tax revenues alone. So 25% of that will stay right here in Omaha for the city council and the mayor to decide what to do with. 75% of that will go to the legislature.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, please.
Julia talks about the numbers of the $300 million and how much. You know, our question is, if so much is going across the river and the Coast Casino that you represent, you know, how much are they going to take out? If they do get the contract and they do get to put a casino or two next to our convention center, what do you plan will be your profits?
First of all, I'm here representing the committee. I have been a lobbyist for Coast Casinos. And you can keep saying that this is Coast Casino's proposal, but it doesn't make it true. This is 80% of Nebraskans. You can say that they're gambling interests.
How much is
some
the
of
profit?
Them are.
How much is the profit, Julia? You've got all the other numbers. Where's your profit margin?
Here's exactly what will happen. First of all, no one is guaranteed anything. It's not guaranteed that Coast Casinos will get a license. I hope they do because they've worked hard and they've looked at Nebraska.
Right.
And but it could be the Venetian. It could be Bally's. It could be Harrah's.
If you get it.
Can I answer or do you want to keep interrupting?
We'll allow each person to
Thanks.
Finish the question.
So what will happen is if a Las Vegas casino gets the contract, it's a business. It's not a nonprofit corporation. There will be money. Whether it will be a Las Vegas interest, whether it will be an Atlantic City, whether it will be a group of Nebraskans who get together and say, we want the casino license, they will make a profit, Pat, and we hope they do. I mean, you don't want to tax, you know, you don't want a company to invest $200 million in a building and then go bankrupt. We hope they do make a profit. I don't know. I mean, I think at casinos it depends on how much they make. In Illinois, they make less. And in Iowa, they're 18th out of 300 of the casinos nationwide. So you know, if your point is, if you're badgering me to try to get the point to say, will they make money? Yes, they will, and I hope they do, and I think our state hopes they does too.
Well, statistically across the nation, for every $1 a government receives in gambling revenue, it costs them $3 in social costs. Now, I know you've done the numbers because you can tell us exactly how much Omaha is going to get. So you obviously know the numbers of the profit of whatever casino. I don't know why you're not sharing those numbers with us.
I would have no idea of knowing how profitable a casino is going to be. We're taking into account if the casino here does as well as a Council Bluffs casino, it will generate more than $40 million, but we're trying to be conservative and say $40 million. So I don't have the tax returns of the Iowa casinos. I mean, I can try to get them, but I'm sure they're making money, and I'm sure some of that goes back to Las Vegas if that's where those companies are headquartered. But, you know, I don't know what you want me to say other than they're going to make a profit.
Well, Senator Bourne?
Thank you very much. One thing I do want to point out is I don't have any trouble with the casinos making a profit. I mean, that's capitalism, and I don't have any trouble with that. But I do want to comment, the numbers set out by Julia as it relates to the taxes, while they're accurate, there's a little twist in the proposal as I read it, and if I'm wrong, I'm sure Julia will correct me. So in part four of the proposition, they define gross gaming revenue as the dollar amount won by the authorized operator minus the amount that's paid back to players and minus federal taxes. So while it talks about gross gaming revenue, it's really net revenue, in my opinion, because it's revenue minus the amount of money that's paid out in taxes and to players. So while she's absolutely right, it is set out what goes to the state. There is a formula in the proposal which, in my mind, kind of maximizes or minimizes the amount that does go to the state. So,
and that number is absolutely standard with everybody else in the country, except I think one jurisdiction who does do it on net revenues.
And I'm not familiar with other states' laws, except I've reviewed Illinois just a little bit, but I'm not aware of that. I'm just saying that is kind of a twist on what is generally the accepted number of net, or the accepted term net.
The other term that Julia mentioned was the Goss study that was paid for by the Omaha Chamber of Commerce. And something else that came out of the Goss study was that he predicts that if area gambling losses will jump 66%, up to $235 million additional losses if just one average-sized casino opens next to the convention center. Because it's location, location, location. And you're going to – this is a business that produces addiction. This is what they thrive on. 20% of the gamblers will lose the 80% of the profit, the money that goes in the casino. They don't make it on $20 losers. They make it on addicts. And this is a business that preys on addiction, that causes heartache to families and heartaches to our economy.
Just to follow up real quick on that number, the studies are, you're going to hear a lot about this study says and this study says, and at a certain point you have to say, what's common sense? We have a study that shows, that number is completely ridiculous. You can't logically think that gambling is going to jump 66% by the opening of one new casino that's, 100 yards away from the other one. We have a study that shows we will be able to capture in the range of 70 to 73% of gamblers that are going over to Iowa that will now gamble in Omaha because they'll want to keep their dollars here in Nebraska. But again, I mean, you have to look at common sense when it comes to this stuff. And we heard from Jerry Bauerkemper again at our previous debate, and I know Pat doesn't like me to talk about this, but he's a gambling addiction counselor. He sees all the problem gamblers in Nebraska, and she says that the business thrives on addiction. Let's put it in perspective. It's like, I think the highest number is like 3% of people get addicted. 97% of people are able to go and use gambling as another entertainment venue, another entertainment opportunity.
I question why, when you brought up the Goss study, why will you take part of the Goss study and afford it? But when I bring up the other part of the Goss study, then you say this is irrelevant, and it's.
I didn't say it's irrelevant. I said we have a study that disagrees with it.
Of course, any study you've paid for, probably you'll disagree with everything I say.
We didn't pay for the study, but yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's studies that show this, and there's studies that show that, and after a while, you got to use your own common sense.
Will you make your studies available to us? Because
Absolutely.
All of ours is on the website. All of ours is documented.
Have you been to our website?
So, yeah, it's not too good.
Okay, we'll move on. Ms. Lunger, have you been offered help or would you accept any help from Council Bluffs Casinos, who obviously would not like to see a casino across the river in Omaha?
No, we have not. I have not ever spoken to them. And we would never accept, we've never have, and we never will accept money from the Council Bluffs Casinos.
Well, I'd like to just follow up on that. Not this past legislative session, but the one before. I think there was the bill was introduced and was kind of what didn't get passed. And at the end of the session, I thought we had heard numbers that the Harrah's or one of the other casinos over there put in. I want to say it was several hundred thousand dollars in trying to thwart that attempt there into Nebraska. So I think the money is coming in, whether it's going through Ms. Lungier's group or not. There is money coming from across the river in here to try to stop the effort.
There was an effort that time that you spoke of, and they did form their own organization. I think it was Keep the Money in Nebraska. And whatever it was, they had a title, and they did fight alongside of us. We did not participate in that. We did not take the money. And that's been our policy, and it always will be. We would totally lose our credibility if we did that.
Yeah, just for clarity, though, that, I mean, I didn't, Julia Plucker and the people from the Keep the Money in Nebraska were not involved, to my knowledge, at that time. And so this was an effort, and I'm not saying it came through Ms. Lungier's group. I'm simply saying that there was a significant effort a year ago by the casinos in Iowa to stop the Nebraska effort that had nothing to do with Keep the Money in Nebraska.
Okay, we have a couple of social issue questions, social impact. First, Mrs. Lunger, how do you respond to the view that Omaha already has gambling with all the social costs because of the Council Bluffs casinos?
You know, I wish they weren't there. I wish they would just go away, but they are there. And we view it as it's like your house and you have your garage on fire. What do you do? Do you try to contain the damage and minimize damage, or do you pour gasoline on the rest of your house? Because if we change our constitution and we open up our state to slot machines and casinos, that's what we'll be doing. Anything that Omaha is experiencing now and the losses, it will be exacerbated over and over and over again all across the whole state. Pat Bourne's bill, the legislature bill, which was passed just the last day of the legislature, the day before, and it was in reaction to the one that was the paid petitions. They were reacting to put the lesser of two evils on the ballot. We will never have two casinos. It cannot be that. We have four tribes. We will automatically have six. And that's not going to stop at that, because Michigan has seven tribes and they have 18 casinos and more being built. So what we're doing is opening up a can of worms and spreading the poison all across the state of Nebraska.
And Ms. Plucker, along these lines, wouldn't more casinos mean more bank and convenience store robberies?
I have no way of answering that in that particular. What I can tell you about social costs is that, you know, Nebraska has the highest welfare expenditures per person, higher than South Dakota and higher than Iowa, which has gambling. And a study that, again, a study that Pat likes to quote that wasn't paid for by us, shows that in communities with casinos, there's a 12 to 17% drop in welfare and unemployment. So, I mean, and again, common sense tells you to look across the river. And when you say Council Bluffs is the crime capital of Iowa, I think that's what you said. What's interesting about crime is that Lincoln, our capital, had an increase in crime last year, and Des Moines, which sits right on top of a casino in Iowa, had a decrease in crime. So, and you know, when we debated this with Ernie Goss, again, an economics professor, you know, he says you can't correlate the two. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into crime. When I talk to Crime Stoppers and I talk to the Council Bluffs Police Department, they say the biggest rise in crime is because of gangs and meth. Again, let's use our common sense. I don't think it's because there's a casino there.
I'd like to address the issue of crime. There's another study out of 400 gamblers from Gamblers Anonymous were interviewed. 57% of them admitted stealing to promote their habit. Collectively, they stole $300 million, and they averaged $135,000 each. This is a product. This is corporations. They don't even produce a product. But these are corporations who bring crime. They bring addiction. We call them the ABCs of gambling: addiction, bankruptcy, and crime. They do not produce any goods. They do not produce a service that they call entertainment. What they produce is legalized stealing, because when you put your dollar through that slot machine and they take out their percentage, the rest of the 93 cents or whatever the percentage is goes into the pot. When you win, you are winning it from your neighbor. You're stealing it literally from your neighbor. And that's where the money exchange comes. The house never loses. And you have to ask yourself, why would two Nevada casinos come in here and push these proposals? Are they doing it because they really care about Nebraskans?
Senator Bourne, there are casinos in Iowa, Colorado, South Dakota, Missouri. Kansas does not, but is considering one to pay for schools. Does that play into your decision? And should it?
Well, I will tell you that, again, the reasons that I voted for the petition or for the legislature's proposal is that the government needed to respond, and I think it's a more restrictive plan than the initiative petition. My view is that if it does pass, what I'm contemplating is some sort of a I don't want to say the word trust fund, but some sort of the money would go in, and I think would absolutely education would be a significant component of the proceeds of gaming. And I would also like to see the money go to some form of economic development to attract businesses here. Our rural communities are dying in this state. And I'll tell you, if we don't do something to help rural Nebraska and soon, I think the state is going to be worse off because of it. And so what I would like to do is to, assuming either of these measures pass, set up some sort of a similar to the highway trust fund, in that money couldn't be siphoned out of it and would go to education needs, teacher salaries, education innovations, things of that nature, and economic development, particularly in rural Nebraska.
I'm actually glad that you brought up rural Nebraska, because that is, again, a very significant difference between the legislative proposal and the Keep the Money in Nebraska proposal. The reason we have these 4,900 machines is because we, in drafting this, kept hearing from communities, we're dying out here. We've got no economic development. We've got no way to earn money. And if you look at the history of Keno, which, again, people said, you know, people made the same claims that Pat made at that time. It's going to be evil. It's going to, you know, take our state, and we're going to become, you know, it's going to be crime. There's going to be prostitutes. There's, you know, this is a terrible thing.
Could I interrupt for just a second? When you say Pat, please
clarify. Pat Luger. I'm sorry. The Pats. No. But what happened with Keno is it really revitalized these communities. I mean, even in Omaha alone, you know, the zoo gets $1 million a year from Keno revenues. Look at everything that Keno has done for this community, but more importantly, those rural communities. So the Keep the Money in Nebraska committee looked at that and said these 4,900 machines are a way to allocate machines based on population for every rural community, and this is their share of the revenues. This isn't just an Omaha issue. This isn't just an Omaha and Grand Island issue. This is an entire state issue. This is their chance to take those monies and put them in what they need most in those communities. And that is the biggest difference between our plans, is that ours, you know, the entire state of Nebraska benefits very in a very real way. And it, you know, it benefits the entire state, and it's all about local control. If the communities don't want anything to do with it, all they have to do is say, we don't want them, and the machines go away. They don't get allocated somewhere else.
I'd like to ask Pat, because you mentioned about you would like to help education if you got to write the prerequisites for the casinos. Do you realize how much of our lottery proceeds go to education now?
Zero.
No, 49%.
Not true. The legislature, in the last few years and the significant budget problems we have eliminated the funding that comes out of the lottery to the Education Innovation Fund and the Scholarship Fund. No money, to my knowledge, is sitting on the Education Committee, the Revenue Committee.
No, it doesn't go to the – we better check this out, because from my understanding, it's written in the law, 49% goes for education, 49% for the environment, and I think – and then the, 1% or 2% to
right.
The,
it's a statutory – it's a statutory allocation that the Appropriations Committee took away several years ago. So there is money that goes into the Environmental Trust Fund, but we have taken money out of that during our budget problems, and we have taken all the money out of the lottery proceeds that go to education. Even though the law says exactly what you're saying,
yes,
it is an appropriation process, and we have taken that money. So as of today, no money goes into the Education Innovation Fund from lottery proceeds.
Because we've not seen any property tax relief as a result of lottery. Now, I don't know how long you've been siphoning the money out of there, but there's been no property tax relief since the lottery came in.
You're right. And you know, that was before my time, and I've never said that is the property tax relief measure, because it's simply not.
You know, and slot machines are known as the crack cocaine of gambling. And to say that this is a benefit to put them in all the small communities, so say $1 million went into a small community slot machines. That's $1 million you've taken out of their local economy. That's $1 million that didn't get spent on shoes and clothes and entertainment in that community. It's nothing that's going to benefit them. You know, if someone gives you a $50 bill in one hand and takes a $100 bill out of your back pocket, how is that a benefit?
That's what's so great about our proposal, Pat, is that communities don't have to place them in their local community. They can place them in the racetracks where there's already gambling. They can place them in strategic locations where people have to make a conscious effort to stop. And, you know, we're not forcing you to go gamble. We're not forcing anybody who is morally opposed to gambling to gamble. Just like they're not forced right now to go across the river 100 yards away and gamble. But 75% of Nebraskans are, and they're spending $300 million.
Yeah. I know you're not forcing me to gamble, but you are forcing me to pick up the tab for the gamblers.
If you know, you say it costs $3 for every dollar spent, I say that can't be possible. I mean, South Dakota's welfare budget, which, you know, we all realize South Dakota is a bad way of gambling. We looked at that. Absolutely, we don't want the South Dakota method. We don't want these in every corner, in every bar. They have a $3 billion social welfare budget. Are you saying that if they had no gambling, they'd have a zero social budget?
You're saying you don't want them in there. Your proposal calls for them to be at bars and restaurants.
Anyone no, has they don't
liquor?
Have to be, Pat.
No, they don't
it's,
have to
it's,
be.
It's anyone, the local citizens decide.
Absolutely, and you set up a civil war just like you did in Iowa, where you're playing Nebraska against Iowa. It goes county against county, and where you came in with just two riverboats paddling up and down with Mark Twain on the back, and that was just the beginning till Nevada started building boats on a moat. After that, they said they got to have them at all the tracks. Next thing you know, they lifted the moratorium, spent $900,000 in lobbyists last year in the Iowa legislature to get those laws changed again. So it's just it's an insatiable business that you bring in.
You know, but what's interesting, I don't know this. I don't know how to describe this as a fact. I know some people in our audience do, but there was a vote in Iowa where the counties chose whether to keep gambling or get rid of it, and they overwhelmingly, like 80 or 90% or something, chose to keep it. But I don't know what's going to happen in these communities, but that is what local choice is all about. Yeah. Go to your city council.
We're going to kind of move on. Senator Bourne, does the legislative proposal require that there be a casino, or could the legislature do nothing at all? And where will the money go if they do pass something?
Good question. I think the language in the constitutional change that the legislature advocated for, at least 30-some members, simply authorizes up to two casinos within the state. If this is just a kind of cursory view of it, I would think that if the legislature did not adopt enabling statutes, there would be no casinos. So I think if the people voted on it, I think that if we did not come back in with the statutory changes to allow the two casinos, I don't believe that they would exist. There'd be no mechanism for them to open. What I'm envisioning is some sort of a lottery process whereby potential parties that are interested in obtaining a casino license would participate in some sort of an auction or a lottery. The state of Illinois recently, and I'm not trying to say Illinois is like Nebraska, but the state of Illinois recently auctioned a casino license, and it generated $518 million for the state. I've read reports here where the value of a license here would be between $100 and $200 million. I do think, however, if you are going to go to an auction process, you have to structure the tax rates so that these are viable businesses. And I realize, while I don't like in the initiative process the $100 fee, I do realize that their tax rate is significant. They're paying 36%, Ms. Plucker would say, of the gross, I'd say of the net. But nonetheless, their taxes are pretty high, which I do think offsets the low licensing fee. But in my mind, what we would do is authorize up to two casinos. That would be local control in that. If the city of Omaha decided it wanted one, the city council would vote and decide to do that or not. I would personally like to see another casino in another part of the state if the legislature's proposal is adopted. And again, I'd like there to be some sort of a auction or lottery process where the state can generate the most revenue from the allotment of the license. And then I would like to set up a mechanism where the money goes to education and again, this is just my idea, economic development. But I'd also want it to be tighter than the provision that we have with the lottery now, because I do think that it needs to be more secure funding so that if we do have budget problems in the future, that it would go, the proceeds would be not necessarily untouchable, but it'd be difficult to do that. I don't believe that we should use gambling revenue to pay for general revenues or general obligations of the state. I do think it should be something additional, maybe an offset to, when I say business incentives, I'm talking about the 775 program. I know a lot of the public in Nebraska are upset with our corporate incentive program, so I'd like to see something that would incent business development, not only in Omaha and Lincoln, but in the rest of the state, and then some money go to education.
That brings up, if I can just real quickly, sure. Another difference between the two proposals is that our proposal is self-executing. On November 3rd, if this is passed on November 2nd, the city councils have the right and the governor has then the right in 60 days to appoint the gaming commission and get this thing going. Pat, I know you're a very effective legislature because I've worked with you, but we all know it's taken, and Pat Lungier, brought this up, you know, this has been a 10-year long or more process. And so is a vote on the legislative proposal a yes? Probably not. It's probably a maybe. It might take, you know, a year to get the enabling legislation done. It might take 3 years. It might never happen at all. But that's a significant difference between the two proposals. How many years is that $300 million still going to keep going to Council Bluffs while we, you know, work on the enabling legislation?
Anyone who looks at this proposal, I mean, it is just absolutely frightening. When we've got what we call our measles map that shows what the possible face of Nebraska could look like if these measures pass. And it, like I say, it's just a difference between a slow poison or a fast poison.
Ms. Lunger, you're referring to either proposal, legislative, or?
Yes, either proposals, one with the two casinos, but it'll mean six minimum. And still it's opening our Constitution to changes, and that's exactly what happened in Iowa. They come in and they nibble and they nibble and they nibble and they pour thousands and thousands.
I'm not going to go after you because of the map again. But Monday night I think we established that your map has some major flaws. I see, you know, you have casinos there part in the western part of the state. Our strategic locations can only be allowed on the interstate or Highway 81. Looks like to me you've drawn in another interstate, possibly. I don't know.
Nobody knows what's going to happen once you change the Constitution.
I've not seen that map, or I've seen the map before, but I don't think that's an accurate representation of either proposal. And I'm fairly familiar with both of them. One thing I want to do respond to Julia's comment, though. I think part of the problem with the initiative is that it is self-executing. And if you read it carefully, it sets up a fairly onerous process in terms of binding legislatures. And so I do think that's troublesome. The third component sets forth some significant changes in the statute, and there's some supermajority language in there that would require a supermajority of the legislature to change that. And that's unprecedented, and I am troubled by that.
Okay. Yeah, another thing in there.
Actually, we can keep moving along here, because we're going to run out of time. Okay. Ms. Plucker, how do we know the two casinos would be along the riverfront? How will that be decided for both proposals?
In our proposal, it calls right there in the proposal, right in what you're voting on, that they must be up to two casinos. It doesn't have to be two casinos that have to be located within 2 miles of the border. So it will be along the Omaha Riverfront in our proposal. In the legislative proposal, and I'll let Senator Bourne answer this, but I think it can be anywhere in the state.
Sure.
Well, I'd like to address the two on the riverfront, because they also call for 500-room hotels. Is that not correct?
Yep.
And why don't you mention that more often? Because
I'd love to mention that. I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh, yes. Because what is that going to do to our Hilton? You know, we have a contract with the Hilton that we have to subsidize them if they do not reach a certain margin of profit. And you put two hotels down there, casinos, and you bring in 1,000 extra rooms, and they're definitely going to sell those rooms a lot cheaper because they want those people in those hotels so that they'll gamble. And what is that going to do to our Hilton? And we are going to have to subsidize that Hilton when they don't make their quota.
Two things that we hope will happen down there is, number one, when you look at casino communities, the lodging facilities that aren't connected to a casino always benefit, number one. And number two is we don't get a lot of conventions because we don't have enough first-class hotel rooms. That was written in the World Herald. I mean, it was a comment that was it's been discussed. We don't have enough first-class hotel rooms. This is going to bring in. I'm glad you brought that up, because we're not talking about a casino here. We're talking about an entertainment complex. There's going to be a casino. There's going to be a hotel. If you base it on some of the casinos that are in, you know, New Jersey, there's one in Illinois like this. You know, you can have a movie theater. You can have a bowling alley. These are, you know, entertainment complexes that will be brought down to the Omaha Riverfront. But I'm not worried about the rooms at all. And I like the Hilton Hotel. I think it's a fantastic hotel. I think we need more rooms like the Hilton.
You're talking about putting Nevada City on our riverfront, that you will be a complex where people, if they do come here, will stay there. You'll have the shopping centers there. You'll have the entertainment. You will have the restaurants. And they virtually, you don't care if they ever leave the building and see our riverfront or see the old Market Association. You want to keep them there because that's where they gamble.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think it will help the Omaha Riverfront. I think it will help the Old Market. I think they'll have shuttles back and forth. I think the parking problems in the Old Market could be alleviated by taking shuttles back and forth. I don't think you can predict what's going to happen, Pat. I'm not going to sit here and tell people that I can predict.
Yeah. Why would the Old Market Merchants Association come out against your proposal?
I'll tell you exactly why, because they didn't hear anybody's opinion from the legislature or from us before they made
that
vote.
Invited.
They heard yours.
The Abood brothers were invited, and they never showed up.
I wasn't aware of that, but I was not invited. No one from the Keep the Money in Nebraska group was invited.
They have studied the issue. They have economically looked at it and said, this is going to hurt us. It's going to hurt business.
I can't say anything about that group, because, again, I wasn't invited to speak there, and no one from our committee was.
And Gallup University, which is right next to there. The last thing they want is
a another question for Ms. Plucker. Does the 4900 machine number include video poker and other machines, or just slots?
No, the 4900 machines, the 4900 number includes all machines, whether they're in the limited form or whether they're in the slot machine form. And the difference between the two is, again, a direct result of us talking to communities and what do you want in your community. So if a community allocates a machine in their community, so in their bars or in wherever, their VFW clubs or Legionnaire clubs, that machine will look a lot like a video poker machine. It will not have bells. It will not have whistles. It won't make noise. There won't be cash droppings. You put money in and you get a ticket out if you win, and you go to the management and get your money. And the machines that will be in casinos and racetracks and strategic locations will probably look a lot like a slot machine. But that 4900 number is inclusive of all the machines, except the machines in the casinos.
Senator Bourne, if the legislative proposal which you support was not on the ballot, would you vote for the proposal that Julia Plucker's group has put forth?
No.
You want to elaborate?
If you'd like. No, I wouldn't. And I struggle with that, again, because I think that we need to be responsive as a legislature. And I feel that I did that. I responded to what my constituents and the citizens of Nebraska wanted. But I am struggling with the concept in the initiative that it's too much, that it is too it will be too pervasive in Nebraska. Although I struggle with it, I don't think that I would vote for that.
Is there a concern that other gambling resources, i.e. bingo, pickle, lottery, will be hurt if casinos are allowed here?
We've talked to those entities that run Pickles, that run Keno, that run, they've been hurt by the Iowa casinos. And right now it's leveled out, and I don't see it hurting those organizations anymore.
It will. It will absolutely destroy charitable gambling. Because
as you pointed out, Pat, part of our group is Keno Interest, and I don't think they would support our you know, it, our proposal if they were afraid that it was going to hurt their Keno games.
Well, of course, slot machines will take over Keno. It's just like it'll take over everything else. When you go even to the Council Bluffs casinos, like 90-95% of the gambling in there is slot machines, because that's what'll take the most money in the shortest period of time. So if the Keno parlors plan to turn themselves into little slot parlors, it's just more money for the operators.
Editorials and articles about the impact on seniors, older citizens, are they accurate? And discuss the timing of the release of these editorials and articles.
What's interesting about the senior citizen article, which I didn't think was a bad article, I think it showed that a lot of seniors like to go and go once a month, and they spend $50 and they have a great time, and they come back to their home base. But you know, this week, I think it was the beginning of this week or the end of last week, CNN did a survey and did a big story about how gambling lengthens a senior citizen's life, because it gets them around people and it gets them, you know, it helps the enjoyment level of the life. But the timing of the article, you know, I'm not going to comment on it. I got in trouble.
I would think the secondhand smoke would kill them all faster than anything.
One thing I'd like to point out is that I represent the Benson area, which is about 52nd and Blondo area. And I personally do not feel that you'll see an increase in the number of my constituents, seniors or otherwise, gambling, because quite honestly, my district is closer to the boats than it is to, say, Westroads. So, I mean, it's in our community.
You know, I think it's interesting. We had the statistic just the other day from the Open Door Mission, and they do studies on a regular basis of their homeless population. And in 1995, 11% of their homeless were there as a result of gambling. Today, it is 38% of the homeless people at the Open Door Mission are there as a result of gambling. It is location, location, location.
They didn't have the riverboats in 95, did they?
That's when they came in.
Okay.
Do you know if there are any illegal slot machines in Nebraska now?
Thousands of illegal slot machines in Nebraska. That's a really interesting question, whoever asked that. The World Herald has documented it. The Department of Revenue has documented it. There are thousands of illegal machines where absolutely no one is benefiting except for the owner of the machine. And the state doesn't get a portion of that. The city doesn't get a portion of that. And our 4,900 machines probably can't even come close to replacing those illegal machines. But what it will do is give the communities incentive to get rid of the illegal machines, get their small allocation of machines to actually get the revenue off of those illegal machines.
Wouldn't that be like equating it to drug abuse? We have a drug problem now in the state, so the solution would be for the state to become the drug pushers, and then that would be better for us? Is that what you're saying?
That's offensive, Pat, because it's just completely offensive. Every time you talk, I mean, drugs are a completely different situation than gambling. You know that, and everyone knows that. It's ridiculous to even put the two of them. I mean, are you saying because I go to the casino and I gamble that I'm a drug addict?
No, you're
using it's ridiculous.
No, but it is an addictive behavior that you want to promote.
And so should we get rid of alcohol because that is an addictive behavior? Get rid of smoking because that's an addictive behavior?
I don't think the state should be
promoting
it.
This is about people getting to do what they want with their time and with their entertainment dollars. 97% of the people can go to the casino or go to a movie. Should we stop that just because, you know, 3% of the people can't deal with it? Should we stop being able to drive cars because some people drive them too fast and get into accidents and kill people? It doesn't make sense.
How many people do you know that go to the movies on the weekend and wind up losing everything they've ever earned? There's a big difference between entertainment.
And you're talking about a very small percentage of the people, and that's why, and they're getting no help right now. Those people, if they are addicted and they are from Nebraska, they're getting no help from Iowa casinos. This will at least give them a mechanism, because the casinos in Nebraska will have to pay for those addiction problems, and it will at least get them some help.
You don't have anything in either one of these provisions for addiction, and you know it.
Our gaming commission, one of the charges of that gaming commission is to fund a gambling addiction program. The standard around the country is about 1-1.5%. I know our group has talked about it. No one's going to fight paying that. That's a lot of money.
I'm glad you brought up that gaming commission. Do you realize that there are 5 people that are going to be appointed by a future governor that are going to control all of this gambling in the state? These are unelected officials that you're proposing.
They're appointed by the governor, and they're approved by the legislature, which is elected officials.
We're getting into the closing moments here. No matter the proposal, does this open the door to Native American casinos?
I believe it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And here, to say the tribes are going to stay on the reservation is a myth. The tribes are not going to stay on the reservation. And we will have, you're going to have just chaos all over the country. In July of 2004, they stated that the Indian gambling grew 8 times faster than non-Indian casinos in 2003, to the tune of $16.2 billion brought in. That they, the tribe in Washington State got approval on August the 13th to build a casino off the tribal land.
I think the Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act is what we're talking about here. And yes, that calls for whenever gambling is allowed in a state, that it opens the way for the state to compact with the Indian tribes. So hopefully the state will take it upon themselves to compact and come up with some arrangement. I don't think there are going to be a mass of casinos built by tribes. I think it's very difficult. They have to go through the Department of Interior, but that's one person's opinion.
Move on now just briefly. Please give us, Julie, a breakdown of how the profits are divided, not just the local and state percentage of the profit, but how is the balance divided and how much are you getting?
How much am I getting personally?
How much are you getting? Someone would like to elaborate,
yeah.
They can, but that was the question.
I didn't even ask that, Julie.
I'm sure. I don't know how the profits are distributed. I mean, we can take a look at Harrah's or Ameristar. I think, and I don't have it with me. I can, you know, anybody can go off the website and get. If we're talking about under our proposal, by the way, casinos would have paid about $1 million more in tax revenues if they were taxed under our rates and our proposal. But I think this is, you know, someone's following up on what Pat was saying earlier, you know. Casinos will make a profit. I don't know what percentage of profit it will be. I don't know how much money they'll make. I don't know how much they'll be forced to give back to the community. I mean, the city of Omaha, under our proposal, whether they auction off who gets the casino license, whether they make them pay another 20% tax to be able to operate here, I mean, there's just no way of knowing. But the casino will make a profit, whoever owns it, whether they're from Las Vegas, whether they're from Omaha, whether they're from Beatrice. And again, I'm getting very offended by this constant questioning, and I know, Pat, that you've asked me this a couple of times. I'm getting nothing out of this. I'm the spokesperson. I'm a real estate lawyer. This is my job. I was elected spokesperson, and some days I wish I hadn't been, but that's what I'm here to do.
Could you tell us how much Coast Casino paid you for your part-time lobbying last session?
I am a lobbyist, as Senator Boren knows. I lobby for many clients. I'm not going to name them here, but Coast Casinos was one of my lobbying clients. My firm received, I think, $50,000 and $60,000 for me to lobby at the legislature, which is not out of line what lobbyists charge. I should have charged more now that I look at your figures that you've compiled over what lobbyists are making. But I didn't receive that money. I mean, I'm getting nothing out of this. I know you want me to be getting something out of this, but I'm not.
You know, I just find
not.
It so hard to believe that you're doing this out of the goodness of your heart.
I'm not doing it out of the goodness of my heart. It's my job.
You know.
Okay, we're gonna move on. We only have a couple more. Pat, could you, and again briefly if we could you elaborate on your statistics regarding problems that have occurred in Council Bluffs since 60 to 70% of the clientele are from the Omaha area? Elaborate on your statistics. Okay, go ahead.
You know, all the statistics are on our website. They come primarily from the Iowa studies. The one report that we have on the retail sales, you know, this was done by the University of the Iowa State University Department of Economics that shows what it's done to retail sales over there. So we don't have money to pay for any studies, so we have to use reliable sources like this. And so I don't know how else to answer it, but the statistics are there.
I will give each person 1 minute for a closing comment since we're running out of time. We'll go in reverse order than how we started. Senator Boren, you're first.
Thank you. I appreciate the discussion. I can't disagree with Julia's position or Ms. Lungier's. I think this is the discussion that we need to have. I want to point out again that I do believe that this is probably the most significant or one of the most significant issues that I've faced as a legislator, and I would simply urge Nebraskans to give this heavy due consideration because it will significantly impact our state. Some might say for the better, some might say for the worse,
But the fact remains is the state will be impacted by whatever happens on Election Day.
Pat Lunger?
I would agree with what the senator said. And we've talked a lot about monies, and we've got a lot of figures that can show you how it's going to hurt our economy. But the reason I do this is because it's going to hurt families. You know, when you bring addiction in, every addict affects 14 other innocent people. And we're talking about families that are being destroyed. We're talking about abuse. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about bankruptcies, and we're even talking about suicides. And we have to say, Nebraska, I came from the East Coast. I raised my family here for the reason that I wanted the good life of Nebraska, and I want it to continue for my grandchildren. And I don't think that bringing slot machines and casinos in here is going to do anything but hurt our families.
And Julia Plecker.
Most of you, I'm sure, in this room are from Omaha. I would just close in saying we know that gambling exists here already. We know that 75% of the people that are gambling in Iowa, which is, you know, within watching distance of here, are from Nebraska. Let's start to reap some of the benefits from that gambling. I mean, let's not let Council Bluffs take our money anymore. I hear over and over Iowans saying, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you guys have finally wised up. You know, you're finally going to take some of that money back that we've been spending of yours. They've got so much money over there in that trust that they don't know what to do with it, and they're not giving it to Omaha. They've already made that decision. So let's get back some of that money. Let's use the people that are gambling now and tax them on it in Nebraska. And I usually close by saying this isn't a moral issue. Now I'm going to add, this isn't a moral issue. It's not a personal issue. This is an economic issue. This is a business issue for the state of Nebraska and for the city of Omaha.
Julia Plecker, Senator Pat Bourne, Pat Lungier, thank you very much for coming in this afternoon for this forum. Our time is up. Thank you also for coming to this special educational forum presented by the Omaha Press Club. Want to pass along, our next noon forum will be October 14th. Features a debate between 2nd District Congressional candidates Lee Terry and Nancy Thompson. Our thanks to KIOS Public Radio for carrying the broadcast. Videotapes of the forums are available for purchase from CP Media. You can call them 1-800-227-5281. Now, we're trying to give you a little more information on how to vote November 2nd. Now, whichever way you decide to vote, I just ask that you do vote November 2nd. Put it on your calendar, Election Day. Thanks for coming this afternoon. Have a good day.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club. Today, we heard a debate on the upcoming gambling initiatives appearing on the Nebraska ballot in November, Freeway to Fiscal Freedom or Road to Ruin. The members of the panel were Pat Lunger from Gambling with the Good Life, Julia Plecker from Keep the Money in Nebraska, and Patrick Bourne, a member of the Nebraska State Legislature. This program was recorded by KIOS-FM on Thursday, September 16, 2004, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to Gary Kerr for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. If you'd like to attend future forums, call the Omaha Press Club at 345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete noon forum listings are available on the Internet. Visit our website at kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.